another edition of the Frotcast. It's here early this week because Brendan's got to go out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got an early edition of the Frotcast. Thanks, everyone, for joining us live from the Frot Quarters in San Francisco. This, of course, your ear rape is Ben. We got the whole crew. Super blogger Vince in the house.
That's me.
Future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan is in the house.
I'm committed to my craft, so I'm willing to move my schedule around.
Yeah. I can appreciate that. And then, of course, Hipster Brett, live from New York City.
My craft is knitting. I am not committed to it at all.
Just a hobby for you.
It's really just how I relax.
Just a couple things before we get going. First of all, you can see these all the backlog of Frotcasts on frotcast.com. You can also subscribe, and we'll start putting together some extra bonus stuff every once in a while. I don't know if it's once a month. To those of you that have already subscribed, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. The Frotcast will always be free. But if you're willing to give us a couple bucks, you know, we really appreciate it. And then Vince, Laramie, and I will be going to the Gathering of the Juggalos. Watch out for that Kickstarter project. It'll be up probably the next week or so.
Can you imagine the content you'll get when I get stabbed live by a Juggalo?
I've already pre-bought that level.
Not just stabbed, but stabbed with a needle infected with hepatitis C.
Oh, yeah. Well, there aren't any needles that aren't infected with at
they're
least.
They're all infected.
So, sorry, that was redundant.
You're going to get one of the lower alphabet ones, bad ones.
It's going to be like hepatitis G or something.
Z. And so we're going to talk. We all saw Room 237. Room 237. So we'll talk about that.
Unfortunately.
It was more like Room ZZZ.
Yeah, for me it was. Hey-o.
Yeah, if you need a nap and you've got $7 to spend, let's just say I'd recommend it.
I always pay for my naps. That's just how we do it out here.
Hey, if you pay for sex.
They charge you for everything in New York.
Yeah. You can pay for a nap.
In a little bit, we'll have Laramie Legal on. We'll try to get to, there's an awesome poll of Americans that show that we are not very intelligent or we love believing conspiracy theories.
It's all kind of related. We've got a very thematic episode. I hope Laramie's got some good, batshit crazy nonsense to add to the mix.
Ooh. Speaking of batshit crazy nonsense, I don't know if you guys read the Tyler Perry email we got today.
No, I had been deleting those by accident, and then Vince said, why are you deleting the Tyler Perry fan club emails? I need those.
Yeah, that was a real email that went out to all of us. Are you guys deleting the Tyler Perry fan club emails? I need those.
I do need them.
It's for a piece.
This is a very...
He writes pieces.
This is very important things.
It's not a thing, it's a piece.
Let me read you guys what you're missing here. Now on to why I'm writing. It's about 6 a.m. here, really quiet. The kind of quiet where even a still, small voice can sound like a scream. I was sitting here thinking about the first time I took a flight on a small private jet. Many of you know that I'm an aviation buff. I love planes and flying. That's crazy, seeing as how my passion for it started as a way to get over my fears. And my first flight was my scariest. After about 10 minutes of being bounced around, I asked the pilots why it was so rough. They told me that it would get better as soon as they were allowed to climb higher. I asked who was holding us at that altitude, and they said air traffic control. There were a lot of planes in the area, and for our own safety, we had to stay at that altitude. I sat down, bouncing around some more, white-knuckled and all, until the flight attendant told me that we had just been cleared to climb higher. I felt the plane pitch up and the thrust of those powerful jet engines kick in. We bounced around some more. It seemed to have gotten worse. Visibility through my window was non-existent. I was about to ask them to land and let me off the plane. But then we broke through the clouds. There was sun, and the air was so smooth that it didn't even feel like we were moving. By now, I'm sure you're wondering, why am I reading all this? Well, I'll tell you.
Why are you describing an experience shared by millions of people every day?
And honestly, that's what I was just thinking.
I was worried
with the low visibility out of his window. How is he going to fly the plane with his force of will?
What's he
going
to do?
If he can't see out the side window, I mean, they could all crash.
The other thing I was wondering, does he have like a big mama suit on?
Medea?
Yeah.
I brushed my wig hair out of my eyes and I was like, what's going on, child?
When is Big Mama and Medea going to have sort of cross synergy?
That's a secular secular Baptist crossover that I don't think is possible.
No. If they were, a great schism would
exactly.
Is that when the space-time continuum gets shattered?
Something like that.
Yeah, Marty.
If they kissed,
or there perhaps have to be a reformation.
By now, I'm sure you're wondering, why am I reading all this? Well, I'll tell you. Flying through rough weather is a lot like making it through life. Sometimes there are a lot of dark clouds, a lot of bad moments. So bad that you want to give up or turn around like I wanted to. Sometimes you can't go higher because something or someone is trying to hold you back and you're being held at that altitude for your own safety. Sometimes you're not ready to go higher. God is protecting you from yourself because he knows that you can't handle going higher. Sometimes he's hiding you, preparing you to be ready. That gave me a million thoughts. I'll save that for another email. Sometimes it's so dark you can't see which way to go.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah, exactly. But just like air traffic control had to give us permission to go higher, this morning I wanted to give you all permission to go higher. Climb! The weather is so much better up there. The sun is shining bright up higher. Stop living your life so low. Now, it's not going to be easy to get through those clouds. You're going to have to hold your head up and use all the strength in your soul to get through. But you will. Use prayer as your fuel and go higher.
You peasants smell like dirt. Knock it off. I'm in an airplane.
You have just been given permission to climb higher. Fly above it all, Tyler. My favorite part is like, hey, when you're going through a rough time in your life, just remember that time I was scared on my private jet.
Anytime you're feeling down and blue, you know, I felt the same way one of the first times I ever rode on a Gulfstream 5. And then eventually we got above the clouds. The waitress popped a bottle of Dom Perignon. I wiped my butt with a $100 bill, and I realized, you know what? Life's pretty okay.
Sometimes you just got to wait a few minutes.
Yeah. I microwaved a couple $100 bills just to brush off my sweat. And then I thought, you know what?
Sometimes, I like them toasty.
Nothing absorbs taint sweat like a Benjamin.
So anytime you're feeling down, maybe you got a drug problem or you're homeless, doesn't matter. Just picture me in my private jet just soaring through the clouds.
I was where you are. One time it was kind of bumpy, and I was scared.
There was one time we had to circle the runway for at least 20 minutes. I was getting really bored, so just think, I've been there too.
I prayed to Jesus. I said, Jesus, why is my chicken cordon bleu so cold in the middle? What will I ever do? Please bring me a stewardess that knows what she is doing.
Dear Jesus, I swear this filet mignon is like 2 degrees too warm.
Yeah,
buddy.
So there's a lot. So I noticed that there's a lot of Tyler Perry. So I've never looked at them. Are they all from him like that?
They're all from him, yeah.
Oh, really?
I mean, it says they are.
Is that why you just have been so happy recently?
I think me and Bernsey are going to start sending out some email, some film drunk inspirational emails.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's going
to
be good.
I'd subscribe to that.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Well, you're already subscribed. Sorry. Too late.
Oh, damn it.
Unsubscribe.
Spoiler alert. You have no choice.
He's got your email address.
Right. Damn it. Can I pre-unsubscribe to that?
No.
You're going to have to start a whole new life, Ben.
A much better life inspired by Percy and Vince.
I actually opted you
in. On an airplane.
I actually opted you in to our privacy policies, and you've already pre-agreed to the T's and C's, and
I copy and pasted all that stuff I read on the internet into a random text field.
That doesn't work. You're gonna have to use a lot of written letters.
No, I put that thing on my Facebook that you can't. I have all property of what I post.
No, we have your property.
Well, no, but I put it on my Facebook.
No, but your property is ours now.
So there's a comment.
There's a new one that I think I should probably do where you post that you don't have to ever pay taxes again on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then you're safe. You're safe.
Wesley Snipes tried to do that.
Yeah. He only got 3 years in jail, though, so not too bad. He just got out.
Wait, I haven't seen that. Is that a thing? People are...
Yeah, he's...
No,
I know Wesley Snipes.
No,
I'm talking about...
I was just kidding.
Hey, you know what? You know what you're not doing in jail? Paying taxes. So I'd say he's the big winner here.
It's actually the reverse. You're not even paying any money and you're getting fed.
Yeah, boom.
Hey, I have something to say. I noticed when everyone was doing that, when everyone was posting on their Facebook that, like, you know, I own my content and all that stuff...
This is legally binding.
Yeah, yeah. One of the people that posted that was my agent, who is also a lawyer. So now I feel safe in totally blaming him for not, like, making it longer than the NFL. It's still his fault. I had an ignoramus for an agent.
I mean, if not all his fault, over 90% his fault.
Right.
Here's that According to this decision, instead of 1040s, Wesley Snipes sent the IRS correspondents advancing various theories as to, quote, why the IRS was powerless to collect income taxes from him, unquote, including, quote, that he was a non-resident alien to the United States that earned income from sources wholly outside the United States.
Or that, or planet.
Yeah, that, quote, a taxpayer is defined by law as one who operates a distilled spirit plant, and that the Internal Revenue Code's taxing authority is limited to the District of Columbia and insular possessions of the United States, exclusive of the 50 states of the Union.
We are really on topic tonight. I mean, this is just going to be a batshit crazy episode where it's like people misreading or feeble-mindedly trying to analyze something that they have no ability to understand at all.
Like they take it so far. So, you know, Wesley Snipes takes this probably one – I don't even know if it's a law, whatever. There's probably one sentence somewhere that says something like that. He's like, well, don't need to pay taxes now. That's kind of cool.
I enjoyed that he felt it was his civic duty to educate the IRS. He wasn't content just not paying taxes and believing in his right to not pay taxes. He was like, hey, I'm going to help you guys out too.
I say it's 10 to 1 he read that on a message board somewhere.
Facebook wall?
Yeah, Yahoo Answers.
I like to think that he just wrote everything on Post-it notes and signed it Blade and passed it to the judge.
with a picture of him in Blade uniform.
Totally.
I'd also accept Willie Mays Hayes.
Yep.
If it was like Blade and or Willie Mays Hayes.
Or just Passenger 57.
You may know me.
Imagine if someone did a room 237 on Passenger 57.
Because you really could. All right, should we jump into it?
Hold on. I wanted to read upcoming movie synopsis of the day. This is going to be Aaron Eckhart is going to play the lead in I, Frankenstein, from the creator of Underworld.
Wait, like iPhone? It's a little uppercase I?
No, it's I, comma Frankenstein.
So it's more like iRobot.
Blaze you dead, homie.
Is it more like iRobot then, but with a bunch of Frankensteins?
Yeah. The film stars Aaron Eckhart as Adam, a contemporary Frankenstein monster now living in a dark gothic metropolis who finds himself caught in an all-out centuries-old war between two immortal clans.
Oh, God damn it.
So the Underworld people love immortal clans. That's sort of their go-to thing.
Oh, God. I hope one of them's mer people. It's like the people from the Black Lagoon because they've run out of fucking idiot monster clans.
My girlfriend loves those movies. I came home
with Underworld?
Yeah.
Really?
And she's normally like – I wouldn't exactly say she has good taste, but like that was uncharacteristically like retarded of her to like. It was weird. I mean, normally her wheelhouse is HGTV and Chopped. Actually, just HGTV.
I'm in with that.
And Food Channel.
That's pretty standard.
Yeah.
I can get down with a lot of the chick stuff, you know, like House Hunters and Chopped and all that. But then they start in with the Kardashians, and I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know
how Sunset.
Anyone could ever watch the show ever.
Oh, by the way, I came home. So my girlfriend's uncle stayed with us last week. And he's a guy like in his 60s from Brooklyn, which is funny because he's a super nice guy. But anytime you talk to someone that has that accent, you're like, is this guy? Yeah.
Think he's going to break a bottle.
Right. Am I going to end up, you know, dissolving in a barrel of acid? but he's a super nice guy. And so when I came home from the frat cast last week, they were eating dinner. And he's like, yeah, so Brendan, where were you? You know, and I'm like, oh, I was doing a podcast with my friends. And he's like, he's asking me questions about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, my friend has a site called Film Drunk. So I do a podcast where he's like, oh, so it's a podcast about movies. And I lied. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, it's great. You know what movies I like? The Beverly Hills Chihuahuas.
Really?
Yeah.
So random.
The Beverly Hills Chihuahuas. Yeah.
He pronounced it even.
Yeah.
That's a really random one to pop into your head that, you know what? There's been a lot of movies released.
Hey, Tony, you seen that Air Bud? I like the one where he's a golden receiver. You know about the footballs?
It had been on HBO a lot lately. That was his justification. Yeah.
They've been showing
Chihuahuas
are
all right.
Yeah.
The Beverly Hills Chihuahuas. They got that George Lopez. He's playing the Mexican dog, you know, because he's got the accent and whatnot.
Yeah. That was my fun story for you guys.
Oh, well, that was fun. That was definitely fun.
That's a really good story.
You know, it's been a lot Smokey on the HBOs says. Recently. Hadn't seen it before. The Beverly Hills Chihuahuas.
Yeah.
He's a priest. That dog's got a lot of personality.
Yeah.
Hey, you seen that Big Mama's house where he's wearing the fat suit and whatnot?
It's a guy, but he's dressed up as an old lady. It's hilarious. Oh, you gotta see it.
Hey, Tony, it's hilarious.
Also, lots of stories that hinge on the clause of. So I says to him, I says,
yeah.
There's lots of.
That's like the Brooklyn version of Yeah Guy.
Yeah. So she says to him, she says.
And I'm like, Yeah Guy?
I always love the double. So he says to him.
I love Yeah Guy so much.
Oh, Yeah Guy's the best thing ever.
I love Yeah Guy so much as a concept, as an ideology,
as a way of life.
Did you ever,
as a paradigm.
Did you ever hear that guy they had on Stern, the Bigfoot, where he had this weird verbal tic where he'd be like, and I goes to the store, I does. And he would like always say like he does and she does after things.
Like Foghorn Leghorn?
Yeah. Like he had like a weird type of like mental slowness where he'd be like, and she comes to my house, she does, and blah, 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 blah.
Just sounds like someone from the wilds of Canada.
Yeah.
Maybe like Bigfoot.
Yeah, actually. There you go. Could be.
Do people still listen to Stern? Anyone that we know?
I mean, if I had satellite radio, I would.
Sure, but does anyone have satellite radio?
Justin.
Okay.
I listened to it when I was in his car the other day.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, apparently he still has quite a following, and I work with a guy who's still like a hardcore Stern devotee, but... he says that he really only does, I think, like 10 or 20 hours a week, and he takes really long vacations. So I think Stern's got, like, a really good deal where Satellite pays him a ton of money.
They already gave him, like, $500 million.
Yeah, not work that much. Yeah.
Well, he built up a huge network on – my understanding is he built up a fairly large network on Sirius and brought a shitload of subscribers over, even though it's a sort of a broken business model, but that's a different discussion.
Yeah. I mean – No one really interviews people as well as he does also. Like, you can, you know, you don't have to like him, but if you listen to his interviews, like, his interviews with people are so much better than just about anybody.
Yeah, and he definitely
has... doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, well, he doesn't give a fuck. He's really good at making people...
He's really good at making people talk about things they otherwise wouldn't talk about.
Yeah, he's good at, like, gradually chipping away at your defenses till you'll talk about whatever. And
yeah,
then,
like having sex with random... other celebrities or whatever.
Yeah, and like you'll hear him. Like, it's not like he prepares. Like, they'll do stuff where they find a guy downstairs and they'll bring him up and it'll be like an amazing interview, which is hard because, you know, I've interviewed people and like at a certain point you just sort of run out of questions and you're like, oh, okay, cool, man. You want to like get a beer or something? I don't know. But he never runs out of questions. He's always got something to say. What the hell's Brett doing back there?
Should we talk about room 237?
We can. If Brett quits moving furniture.
Sorry, the mic's set a little high so I can talk into it and you can hear everything my lady friend does.
Oh, what's she doing?
She's getting some ice cream.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's bourbon ice cream. It's not very good. It's very bourbon-y.
Ooh. So are you surly and hate the world yet because you live in New York?
No. Yeah, no, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but how is that different from normal?
No, I was just checking. I was curious to see how long
it has gone down.
Yeah.
Surliness is at a pretty standard level.
Pretty standard high.
Yeah, well.
Steady clip, I'd call it.
Yeah.
You've sort of plateaued at like the 96% or so surly.
Yeah, I mean, I can push 98 if I get into it. If I read a news article or really just anything.
I started watching that Fox News.
I do.
Like if you read a single internet comment, then it'll push up to like a 98.
If I accidentally catch any of the feeds or links from Gawker or any of the other aggregator sites, that'll put me over the edge.
Is BuzzFeed potentially push you closer to a full 100%?
I can't even go near anything that could link. I have to be two levels removed from BuzzFeed at all times.
They don't have comments, though, do they?
No, they just
content's garbage. Content infuriates me.
Yeah, fair enough.
I just knew that about Brett. That the content itself makes his blood boil.
Well, it's the it's the algorithm model,
lowest common denominator.
Well, shit, man, it's working clearly.
As Vince knows, the internet, it's first a series of tubes. Second, it's all about the clicks.
Yeah, all about the clicks. I vividly remember New York giving me like a total hair trigger where I was walking across the street or something and like someone almost ran into me and I fully remember like stopping in the middle of the street and like flipping off an entire bus with both hands and screaming fuck you at the top of my lungs.
I could see that. Yeah. A dude almost ran into me in the crosswalk with his bike in the middle lane. It wasn't like it was the bike lane, just in the middle of the road. And I thought about like I could slug him and he wouldn't be able to catch me. Like I could get away. By the time he recovered from the punch and got a forward direction on his bike again, I could be in the subway and just vanish. Like I could fucking punch this guy.
Like Batman.
In the face.
I had a friend tell me a similar story. She lives in New York and she's a very nice person, just all sunshine and rainbows. And she told me a story about riding her bike to work and some bum was just sitting on the street, like doing something stupid. And he like ran into her. Mm-hmm. And so she crashed her bike and fell off.
Oh, God.
And she basically tells the story the way we're like, fast forward, you know, 30 seconds, and she's like, then I realized I'm sitting there with a broken-ass bike screaming at a bum, telling him he's a piece of shit, and he's, like, the worst person on earth. And I'm like, oh, wow, New York has changed me.
Yeah. Well, I told you the story about how that where I was waiting for Matt or you know, either Matt or Amy. I was, like, standing outside of a restaurant, and I'm, like, waiting. And you know you're vulnerable anytime you're standing in a – same with San Francisco. Anytime you're, like, standing outside a place of business for too long – you know, you're going to get approached. And I just had my headphones in. Was not in the mood with dealing with
someone.
Deal
with hobos.
Asking me something. Man, this dude comes up to me and he just ignores the fact that I have my headphones in. He's like, hey, man, can I ask you a favor? And I'm just like, no. He's like, what? I was like, no, go away. And he just, and he like launches into like a horrified, he's just horrified that I just, and he's like, I'm like, no, I don't know you. Why would I want to do you a favor? Like, that's a bad
I enjoy
in.
That they carry it through. Like, you've never heard a fucking a hustle before.
Yeah.
Like, look, all right, fine. Can we relate to each other as hustler and hustly? Like, I've been through this 7 or 8 times. I know at least 3 different forms of what you're doing now. Can we just skip the part where we pretend to, like, not have done this before?
Yeah, last night I was trying to catch a cab.
Which, by the way, lest you think Brett is not a man of his word, I was standing outside a bar with him one time, and some girl comes up and goes, hey, guys, I'm stranded out here. I need money to get back to the East Bay on BART. And Brett just starts going, fuck you! I gave you $5 last week! And she's like, I don't know you. He's like, fuck you!
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Wow.
I thought Brett was pretty cool.
I think Brett had by accident seen BuzzFeed that day.
Yeah. It's true. That was just a regular haunt of hers. She does that all the time.
Oh, no. It's totally a hustle. Brett was in the right.
Last night I was trying to get catch a cab going north, and I was on a one-way street going south. So I went to go walk down a block so I wouldn't have to, you know, pay for the cab to go like 2 blocks around the block and try and get back up Market Street. So I go down one of those long-ass Market Street blocks to try and find another place to catch a cab. And while I'm waiting, this guy comes up and he's like, he has a lazy eye and I can't really understand what he's saying. And he has like a thick New Orleans accent. And he's sort of rhyming and he's like spouting rhymes and being kind of funny. So I can't really like fully shut him down. And he's like, let me ask a question. Blah, 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 blah. You know, that's the secret. Let me ask you a question. And then you're like, well, crap. Now I have to let him
I
go through
I have to
this.
Answer this question. I hope I can answer it.
And before I even know what's...
Like, he's like the Sphinx. You have to answer it and he'll eat you.
Before I even know what he's doing, he's like down on the ground and he's putting Purell on like the front rubber pieces of my shoes, which are not like shinable shoes because they're like part fake suede and like part canvas. And he's like trying to... You know, they're trying to do the shoe shine thing, but it's like, you're putting Purell on the rubber like toe bumpers of my shoes, and then I end up giving him fucking $5, even though the only reason I was there was because I walked around the block to try and avoid paying like an extra block of cab fare.
So to avoid an extra $1.50 of cab fare, you gave a bum $5,
yeah,
who may or may not have ruined your rubber on your shoes.
Look, man, I can't deny that he was pretty good at what he was doing.
I will actively pay people for an interesting angle.
Yeah.
Like the Buddhist guy that hangs around the Marina Cow Hollow, I gave him $5 because he went on this long tirade about how food is not right for humans and that naturally we should just never eat.
Oh, he's a breatharian.
Yeah. And I was talking to him about it. I'm like, and he was, you know, he's totally coherent, if not real big on making sense. And so I'm just like, you know what? You have earned yourself $5.
Did he give you a photocopy of his writing?
Oh, yeah. I got the photocopy. Yeah, you have to. That's your, like, your receipt for...
The Breatharians will charge you $1 million to learn their secret.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, you just don't eat food.
But you'll save that back. You get that back in food savings.
Look, here's your ROI. By year 28, you have saved all of that money.
Put together some charts that you're going to want to see.
Year 28 and on, you're in the green.
Just like you can't cheat, though. If you cheat,
you're going to stay in the red. Going to stay in the red.
I remember reading somewhere that the grandfather or the godfather of the Breatharian movement was like photographed outside 7-Eleven buying a bunch of like Cheetos and shit. So I don't think he lives by the word.
Brendan, to be fair, Cheetos are mostly air.
That's true. He had puffs.
he had puffs. That's like 98% air. Yeah,
that's true.
And the orange stuff is not food. That is.
Yeah, that's just dust.
It's great weapons material.
Yeah, that's just cheese dust and air, and then it's congealed into something you can eat. But it's basically air. So you can live off air and cheese puffs.
I got the joke telling bum the other day, and I'm happy to give that guy money because he always has one or two good jokes. I really liked a pair of jumbo cables walking to the bar. The bartender says, "All right, I'll serve you this once, but only if you promise not to start anything."
It's pretty,
pretty
good.
Pretty good.
That's a $2 joke. I don't know if it's a $5.
Well, he told like six of them.
So what do you get for six jokes in San Francisco from Vince?
From me?
Yeah, what did you give him? You said a joke will...
Oh, I don't know. I think it was just like three of us.
Spits on him and says, "I make less than an open mic, you asshole."
Yeah, seriously. I think there was like three of us. We all gave him $1.
All right. That's not a bad 2 minutes or whatever.
Yeah. He had a hot two.
You extrapolate that out, he's making a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
His per minute earnings, not bad.
Oh, yeah.
All right, should we jump into room 237?
We should.
All right.
Do we?
So I think we all felt sort of similar. I think Brendan's the only one that at least remotely enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it for all the wrong reasons.
I agree with all you guys completely. I think the difference was I watched it with my girlfriend, and we were laughing our asses off the whole time at just the absurdity of everything.
So for those of you that haven't heard of it, it's a documentary talking to basically conspiracy theorists about the movie. Are you playing something?
I was going to see if this clip would work. I don't think sorry. It's a bad clip.
I don't think there's much dialogue in it. Yeah.
That was a good clip. Thanks.
Sorry.
That should have given you a pretty good feel of the movie. Basically. Actually, that is a good feel for the movie. So it's a documentary on, I think there's five uber conspiracy theorists that have each watched The Shining, I think, over 4 million times.
I mean, I feel like they're not even conspiracy theorists. They're just like the most fart-sniffing critics.
Yeah.
I thought
there's a broad range of the spectrum of batshit crazy. There's the conspiracy theorists on one end. One of the guys was fairly, I mean, he made some sense, but then just sort of,
They basically... There's several different theories. One theory is that Kubrick, this was a dialogue about the massacre of the Indians. Another one's about the Holocaust. My favorite was it was all about Kubrick being involved in the faking of the moon landing. And then the last one was something
about... The woman's was just about sort of...
It wasn't about anything. That woman is...
The Minotaur. The Minotaur was in
there. The Minotaur. Oh, my God. So there's a guy.
Didn't have a real strong vector of crazy. It was just sort of like a one of those Roman gladiator nets of craziness where they just throw it and then they hope to like stab him to death with a spear. That
was like this bizarre free association where it was like, well, the way that this skier on the poster is positioned, he looks like a Minotaur. Side note, he does not look like a Minotaur.
Therefore, everything's connected forever.
Yeah, right.
He doesn't look like a Minotaur at all. It's like a skier.
It's a skier. It's a guy skiing. And she goes, well, when I see it, that's when I realize it's a Minotaur. And and then she makes a whole point about how the maze at the end is not in the book. So this was an intentional thing by Kubrick.
The problem, as always, that's more frustrating, like the reason I can't just dismiss this kind of stuff and the conspiracy people that we tend to involve ourselves with is that they're right up to a point. and like then they just blow past that point. Like the having the labyrinth be sort of Minotaur-esque, I would buy that that's maybe a conscious decision.
Right.
And then they're just like, also, this one picture, it kind of looks like a Minotaur, therefore everything.
Yeah, well, and then there's, and that was kind of my issue with like the genocide of the Indians and the Holocaust is there's a kernel there of truth. And I think that there's a lot to say about some of the themes in The Shining of sort of this inevitability of history repeating itself and these awful things that we know and can't
stop. Because he's in the photograph.
He's
been there potentially forever.
So there's these kind of like subtle overtones of that happening, which is what makes the movie good, because it's all this like really kind of subtle stuff that's ambiguous. And then their solution was like, oh, well, now that I think this, there's now these million things that confirm what I thought, and they're totally
it always
not.
Starts with like, then I started to figure it out. It's like, right. Yeah, that's the part where I tune.
And then
yeah,
there was a label for soap in the background that's also a Native American word for something. So clearly, this is all about the Native American genocide.
For those who haven't seen, it's the Calumet baking powder in the pantry, and in the beginning part where Dick Halloran is taking them through. You can clearly see the label on the Calumet,
along with about 10 other labels.
Which is a word for peace pipe. But then when Jack Nicholson's character gets locked in the pantry, all the labels are turned somewhat so that the word Calumet is broken. So the peace pipe is broken.
Did you guys read the...
And then therefore it's about the genocide of Indians, by the way.
You guys read the New York Times thing where they interviewed his PA?
Yeah, yeah. He said it's all bullshit.
Well, he's like, no, look, Kubrick was totally a perfectionist and totally obsessive, but what he was doing was making a beautiful shot. Like, he was very concerned that things looked correct and that they looked good, and it was not about some overarching subtext. Like, I'm sure he had influences, but it was like, look, a lot of the decisions were ad hoc, and they were because it made for a spectacular shot.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I kind of bought about the Holocaust or the genocide of Native Americans, is that maybe on some level he was affected by that stuff, and these are the themes that he brought into the movie as far as history repeating itself and not being able to stop these things, these mistakes from happening over and over again, which I can totally connect with. But then, like we talked about, it just goes so over the deep end.
Here's a good quote from this guy. Part of what I did during that trip to the U.S. in 1975, this is his Kubrick's PA, or assistant, actually, was shoot larders in hotels, said Mr. Vitale, using the British word for pantries. It was so that Stanley, who was American-born but who had lived in England for years by then, knew what one was likely to see there, and I found Calumet cans all over the place. Yet another contention is that a poster in the Overlook shows a Minotaur, suggesting that the movie is a retelling of the Greek myth about the part man, part bull. That astonished me, Mr. Vitale said. I stood staring at all that stuff for weeks while we were shooting in that room. It's a downhill skier. It's not a Minotaur.
Yeah, and then there's all these strange tangents that woman goes. I mean, that woman is by far the... has the worst theories. Well, sorry, has the most out there theories, while also having the worst kind of supporting evidence for her theories.
Yeah, because she's just done a little too much.
At one point for her supporting evidence for one of the theories is... her son ran into the room and talked about a dream he had. And she goes, and that got me thinking about the movie. And it turns out, and that's like her whole theory is like based on this dream that her son had, which is...
I wrote some quotes down that I thought were just absolute boilerplate wacko quotes.
Yes.
They're standard across all crazy people who believe they're more important or have like the edge on the information. It's there for anyone to see. I learned it all just watching the movie. I could go on for a long time about blank. Continuity error? Could be. Or maybe it's not. Once you start studying synchronicity and symbolism, it's like, oh, yeah, yeah, because that's a really important field of study.
Sorry to interrupt you, Brett. Was there only one woman? Was she the one that said...
four men and a woman.
It's impossible for the office to be where it is.
Yeah, which bothered me because The Shining
can't even exist.
Yeah, The Shining is really about space. You know, he does a lot of sound design around space and how, like, the hotel itself is kind of this awful presence. And, I mean, I'm sure part of that was him being like, okay, we can have this impossible space.
To me, the thing is, it's supposed to be a fucking labyrinth.
Yes, it's a disorienting place. Yeah. And that's the whole idea of, like, reversing the rug patterns. and that kind of thing. It's supposed to give you this sense of disorientation where there's, you know, a shot, a chair behind Jack Nicholson in a shot. It cuts away for 2 seconds, and you cut back, and there's no chair there. I think it's all kind of this disorienting thing that he's trying to do.
Yeah.
Which I think makes a lot more sense than it's an it's allegory about the Holocaust.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you catch the guy at the end where he brought up quantum physics? It's like no nutbag can go an entire conversation without being like, you know, it's just like, you know, it's like quantum physics.
Yeah.
It's their parachute pull when they're just like, well, I don't know anything about what I'm talking about at all.
Yeah. And I think part of the reason that – because I got bored really, really, really bored.
Really fast. Within 10 minutes.
In the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be horrible. Just because like on a formal level, it's like slow motion shots like cut together from Kubrick movies. With people talking over it. Like, I didn't find it visually interesting, like, at all.
It reminded me of how awesome a director Kubrick is.
Yeah.
And how awesome.
Yeah.
Totally. It reminded me of how fucking awesome all the tracking shots in The Shining are.
It was like a bad...
Just like, raising his eyebrows in the most horrific way.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it reminded me of how awesome Kubrick is, how awesome his movies are. But it was basically like... All right, let's get the craziest, weirdest stoners that have watched The Shining over 4 billion times combined and that have these crazy theories about this much deeper meaning about the universe and Kubrick's place in it. And they weren't interesting.
No.
No, not in the least.
And if you've taken a few film theory classes, I hate that we keep rewarding these people in academia. It's like they over the years we just keep rewarding people who have like the most crazy asinine theories. Like whoever can do the craziest Freudian close read of the most minuscule thing. It's like you can write a whole
paper tray lines up with his crotch. He's got an enormous hard on.
If you can write a whole fucking book about how Law and Order is about the Third Reich, like somehow you're going to get an award for that. And you know, I want to laugh at these people, but just having seen how successful some people are at doing that, it honestly just – it bugs me, and it bugs me almost as much as it bores me. So.
Well, so I laughed my ass off. I watched it with my girlfriend this weekend.
What did you find so funny? Because I was, like, bored to tears.
Well, just how stupid everybody was. Like, how stupid these people were. And it was just funny, and I watched it with my girlfriend, and we were laughing, and I think because by the effect of someone else being there, it kind of like, you can sort of bounce your laughter off other people, whereas I was at work today, and I was on this email thread with you three, and you were all, you know, alternately messaging, like, this movie's a piece of shit, and if I watched that by myself, I would hate it. Yeah. And my girlfriend and I watched it, and we were laughing. Now, here's the thing that pisses me off about
it. It felt like
it.
Getting my fingernails torn out when I was trying to watch it.
What pisses me off is that's one of my favorite movies ever. I fucking love The Shining. And I was so excited because if there's any movie that you can get some really sharp people to kind of sink their teeth into and analyze, you can get some really cool, meaningful shit out of, like, The Shining or most Kubrick movies, right? So I was very excited to hear some interesting kind of takes. And it just turns out they're like the worst, most boring.
Well, because here's how you get interesting takes on old movies. Like when we're talking about Hank Azaria and that scene in Heat where, you know, he has that funny reaction shot to – we'll get him back in a second.
She got a great ass.
So we're talking about – when we're talking about the great ass scene in Heat the other day, the thing that's interesting about that when you talk about it is he tells the story about how Pacino did that take flat a bunch of times, and then he did that one take really huge, and it was just sort of this magic moment that you could only capture on film once that just happened because, like, there's a level of what you've written, there's a level of improvisation, and then there's a level of collaboration that goes into it, and it's like this perfect storm of things happening that sort of, you know, contribute to it coming out a certain way. And when someone goes in there retroactively and just acts like, oh, he's got a 200 IQ, so obviously he planned everything down to, like, the way the tissue paper was. It, like, takes all the magic out of it for me. It makes me fucking hate those people, and it makes me fucking hate the movie, and I fucking hate myself for watching it, and I just want to kill them all.
Yeah, and I think I remember hearing that about The Professional, the infamous Gary Oldman everyone scene.
Yeah.
Oh, everyone!
Yeah.
Which is, like, one of my favorite movie scenes ever. Yeah, it's like there has to be I think for a movie to be truly great, there has to be a little bit of that. I don't know what to call it.
Spontaneity.
Yeah, sort of the serendipitousness of like the weird kind of like take 17, let's try something out of left field, and that's what ends up working. I think you're totally right.
There's the magic of chance, and it's like they're taking all of the magic of chance out of it and just saying, this guy's a genius because he was inside my head and he came into my dreams and he put his face in the clouds.
It's almost like going back and saying that some crazy sports moment was planned, you know, like the Immaculate Reception. Oh, they're totally planning to like bounce it off a safety shoulder pad and bounce it to Franco Harris.
I feel like this exercise.
That's what makes it exciting. That's what makes it magical, is like the unpredictability.
Yeah. And I feel like, well, there's two things. One, I think you could do this with anything. And I think something like The Shining and Kubrick is easier because he's a genius and he's a great director. So you get all this added stuff that you might notice. But I think there was even a review where they said this could be done with Ghost Rider.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Well, and I think that's my bigger issue is I got so excited because I love this movie so much, because I love The Shining so much. And I saw the great reviews and I fell for it. I got totally duped. But all it is this validation of criticism. So, of course, critics are going to be like, this is a masterpiece. You know, because
hey,
it's a bunch
guys,
of people just talking,
yeah.
talking out their ass about movies, you know?
You guys sound like you're 1,000 miles away, but
we're actually like 3,000.
We are. We're faking the moon landing.
Did you turn me down
in the moon room?
No, we didn't turn you down. Did you read? Did you guys read Armand White's review?
No, Room 237.
One of his best reviews, I think.
Oh, I can't wait.
I've long realized that Kubrick. First of all, he uses the word nerd 7 times and geek twice. All he does is call the people nerds.
It has like a 96% rating.
Yeah, it's 96% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, I feel like I can't write a negative review because I fell asleep halfway through and I refused to watch it
again. So I started watching it last...
That sounds like a positive review to me.
I mean, but don't you think, like, I don't know if I'm allowed to write that review, but I think people need to know that it's not good and it's actually terrible.
So I started watching it and then granted, it was late at night, but I usually don't have a problem staying up and I fell the fuck asleep. Had to pause it and then started today. And I've never wanted to end a movie earlier than that. Like, I struggled through just finishing it. My favorite part was definitely the moon landing guy, only because I really like the fake moon landing stuff because it's so silly. So him, he's all about that Kubrick was involved in the faking of the moon landing. And the entire movie is the reveal that that Kubrick was involved. Right. And, you know, I really felt very positively about this. And then...
Well, as soon as he saw that Danny was wearing the Apollo 11 sweater, then he knew. Also, the key that's dangling out of the room 237, it says room number. And he talks about it.
The number's N-O, like the...
Yeah, and room N-O. And then he's like, well, it's moon,
moon room.
It's the moon room. That's
And even lines in the movie, it's like, don't you know what a contract means? Don't you know what a responsibility means?
That's Stanley Kubrick having the responsibility of shooting the moon landing.
Oh, and then also telling his wife about it.
All right, here's my favorite section of...
Wait. Moon landing. That was like easily my favorite part because the background music picks up in tempo and it gets sort of... It's very Godspeed You Black Emperor where suddenly you're like, oh, shit, this guy's actually like really crazy. And it gets a little uncomfortable. And that was like the only good 15 minutes of an otherwise poorly assembled movie.
Yeah, because I would have enjoyed that segment as a YouTube clip for 10
minutes.
Because
it's kind of scary. I mean, you realize that this guy is sort of just
unhinged.
Completely detached at that point where he's just fucking pulling things out of space.
Literally.
This is my favorite section of Armand White's review. Fans seem unable to recognize the film's failings and so try to make virtues of its mistakes. Kubrick often in many of his movies would end them in a puzzle, so he'd force you to go out of his movie saying, what was that about? So claims one zealot who responds to cinema the way a child reacts to a video game, trusting that the manufacturer cares about his response.
Nice.
Another nerd says, Kubrick is like a mega brain for the planet who is boiling down. With all of this extensive research, all of these patterns of our world and giving them back to us in this dream of a movie.
Ugh.
Sorry to say, but this inanity redounds to the global reach of Roger Ebert's TV reviewing. Room 237 doesn't raise one's appreciation of The Shining, cue laugh track, but instead confuses response. It features reenactments of Kubrick placing a Calumet baking powder canister paranoid shots from blah, 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 blah. And for seriousness, there are even purloined images from Schindler's List to justify the suggestion that Kubrick was actually expounding upon timeless examples of genocide. I love how he blames everything on Ebert. It is Ebert's pretense of criticism that inspires these nerds to insist that The Shining must be important because it is more than just a horror movie.
It's like the best. I mean, The Shining is important, but this movie was not. I mean, I don't know. People are going to use the fact that it's sort of tongue in cheek about how crazy they are as a defense, but it's also a poorly assembled documentary on crazy people.
Yeah, there's no acknowledgement or like there's no highlighting.
And they just showed shots of The Shining, which is sin number one. They just fucking.
They didn't highlight their nuttiness at all. They're just like, oh, here it is, with no sort of analysis or.
The one thing I did enjoy with the movie, but it was I was so fucking bored, like I had a tough time enjoying it, was when they would sort of break it down and have, you know, here's the path that Danny took when he was driving his big wheel, but it's like it's going fucking nowhere. And it's also a terrible theory. It's like you see the window for 1 second, it means he's on the fucking moon. It's like, what are you talking about?
That's
man?
The problem is you follow along thinking that there's going to be some sort of cognitive payout, and you realize that this has all been a road trip to absolutely fucking nowhere.
Yes. And because I did enjoy that from the filmmakers of Room 237, I liked the parts when they sort of broke down these crazy theories and would make like graphs and maps and stuff. Although the woman I did like where she said, you know, I've drawn everything out. I mean, not to scale or anything. But oh, because that wouldn't be important.
Yeah.
But I didn't draw it to scale, but I'm convinced that this room could not be where it is. Convinced.
It's almost as if it were a set in the movie.
Yeah. It just sounded like crazy people really high that had seen The Shining 4 million times each.
If you've been around a lot of really high people, which, you know, is fun, it's them trying to remember that thing from that time.
Yeah, they weren't
Over and over again for like 2 hours. Yeah, it was that, you know, that one thing.
Yeah, they weren't entertainingly crazy enough for me. They were just boringly crazy.
Yeah. Well, and there just wasn't enough, you know, there was.
If I could see those people, they might have been the interesting thing. Like, give us a little bit more on this person's life and why this person comes to think that The Shining is about minotaurs. Like,
right.
Tell me about that
person. And
that's
the thing is it's not even – they never kind of close the loop on these arguments. It's like it's a minotaur and then there's a maze and then they get distracted by something else. So they never say like why – what the minotaur, the maze – I mean obviously it's not – because it's not a straight retelling of. Yeah.
At one point, one of them goes, "Wait, where was I?" Which is pretty classic.
Yeah, yeah. And so none of them actually say, like, okay, here's the situation. Like, here's all my supporting evidence and really, like, close it. They're kind of like, well, here's the thing I think, and here's a couple things that I saw that might back that up. And then they get distracted by something else. So there's never any. It's all just so laughable how abstract it all is.
Yeah, well, it's like when we watch, you know, we give a lot of shit to real sports, but I mean, you don't have to necessarily play devil's advocate, but your job as an interviewer is when someone is like talking crazy, you have to sort of jump in and you know, and then try and clarify their ideas or figure out.
Dude, Bernie should have made this movie.
He really should have, and no one's jumping in. They're just like, yeah,
it's
go nuts. Go nuts. And the person will like jump from one subject to the next and they'll be like, and isn't it crazy how one hotel, they shot it at two different hotels that didn't look the same? And you're like, no, that's not crazy at all. That has nothing to do with anything.
Vince, it's brilliant. I really wish that Bernie had made this. He'd be like, you're telling me that skier's a centaur. You know how crazy that sounds? Yeah.
You know that's half man, half bull, right?
You're off, dude. I actually do wish that we got to know the crazy people.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been a little more enjoyable. Like, who are – like, where do these people live?
Dude, it's got to be pretty sad if you've devoted the last 30 years of your life to The Shining.
I'd like to see where they live with, like, posters of Jack Nicholson everywhere and – yeah.
Their file. You want to look in their dossier where they've got the filing cabinet full of their research and it's all
least,
just crayons, scribblings.
That's sort of interesting to me, not just, like Vince said, slow motion shots. I mean, I feel like I saw 10 minutes of The Shining –
over and over and over and over.
It's like the same. It was like a fucking high school or college like video editing project.
Editing 104.
It's like an editing project with like some people that you interviewed. Like you could have made that fucking movie in a weekend. Like,
do you guys ever see Realms of the Unreal?
See what?
I think it's Realms of the Unreal.
It sounds
familiar. About Henry Darger. He's like a crazy person that he was like a janitor in a building and he died and they went in. They were like, holy shit, this guy's got a lifetime of drawings and stories and he created this whole fucking world. It's
I heard about that, but I never saw it.
Yeah, it's really good. It's the same sort of thing where you get this taste. It's basically but what Ben's describing, where you get this taste for a person that's made all these weird linkages with very minimal outside. Hi, Laramie. Gotta turn your speakers off.
What?
Turn your speakers off.
How did Laramie sneak in?
My speakers aren't on.
What? I'm hearing my own voice.
You're good now.
That's you.
Ben's fault. Ben's fault.
It's my fault. Laramie, how did you sneak in?
It's a nice day for a what went on.
All right, so it's, hey, Ben, this is your fault, too, because Laramie's coming through crystal clear, and you guys sound like you're 1,000 feet away, and I can't listen to you both.
Well, we're actually more like 3,000 or 4,000 miles away.
Yeah. So fix it.
Laramie.
I miss all you guys.
Laramie, did you see room 237?
No.
Do you know what it is?
It's a horror film, right?
It really is.
Well, it's horrible.
What the hell is it?
So we've been talking about it. It's basically a documentary with conspiracy theorists that think the movie The Shining is there's much bigger meaning behind it. One is it's all about Kubrick filming a fake moon landing. The other is that it's all about the genocide of the Indians. One's about the Holocaust, and then you've been in the Holocaust?
No, the Native American genocide.
I would not recommend it. Although, as Vince and I discussed, if you like really need a nap and you've got $7 burning a hole in your pocket, turn this thing on. I guarantee you'll be asleep in under 15 minutes.
That is a money back guarantee.
Money back nap guarantee that you will be asleep.
I'm a little shocked you guys watched a movie.
Well, so this
I finally get him to watch a movie, and it happens to be like the most insufferable fucking movie I've seen all year.
Well, so here's, because I would do that again, even though I didn't enjoy it, because part of it is I would have never seen a movie ever again for the broadcast if I had to see that in the theater. I would have boycotted the rest of time seeing movies. You know what I will see? I'm going to go see Oblivion next week.
Oh, you know what?
Were you excited about that?
Yes, I am.
You know it's not called Broblivion.
Oh, it's not called Broblivion?
No.
It's called, what's it? A Broblivion?
It's not called Bolivian about Mike Tyson?
Yeah, I'm excited for Oblivion.
What do you think about Elysium?
Which one's that?
Pretty excited about that one. That one's the one.
That's the one that's an antidepressant, right? Beta blocker?
Yeah. It's
an MAO inhibitor.
It's from District 9 director Neil
Blomkamp. Ooh, oh, yes, I am excited
looks like
for that.
Another like semi-allegory that turns into just a batshit action movie.
I'm excited for that. But Oblivion comes out soon. That comes out next week.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy Tom Cruise, despite...
What?
Yeah, I like Tom. I like him.
Weird.
No.
Well, I didn't know about this.
Tom Cruise
part
is American cheese.
Taste.
Well,
he's good if you're making like some queso or maybe like on the right kind of hamburger, but he's not an added value
here,
to anything.
I'll say like I don't go out of my way to see his movies. Like I didn't see and we'll probably never see Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher was actually
that was
the decent.
Good one though.
Yeah, that was one
of
the decent ones.
I liked the Mission Impossibles.
You know what's exciting for me is that I didn't even know this whole avenue in your city of garbage even existed.
Ben's brain to
find out that you don't want to eat at.
So is my brain the city of garbage?
Yeah, that's where your tastes. I think you got a good head on your shoulder. You just you're a raccoon and you eat refuse.
It just has a landfill in it. It has a landfill in it where the tastes go.
Would you say
if you take the trash away from you, you'll bite.
Would you say that I'm like half
half pig, half raccoon. Where like, I'm rolling around on my own feces.
Yes.
And then I'm on a raccoon and I'm eating the trash.
Yes, that's what I would say.
Yeah, I'm excited for Broblivion. It's got my favorite Scientologist, Tom Cruise, and then it's directed by the director of one of my favorite movies, Tron Legacy.
That can't be true.
I love Tron Legacy.
That cannot be true.
Tron Legacy is one of my favorite movies of all time.
I enjoyed Tron Legacy, too. That was one thing we shared as friends.
Like, ironically?
No. I thought it was visually very pleasant, and I just tuned out the whole fucking narrative because it's dumb.
I mean, Vince's mom beating off a hobo is visually pleasant, but it doesn't make it a story.
But it doesn't have Daft Punk doing the soundtrack.
It is if my abandoned baby shoes are in the background.
No, that's a story.
There's like a college an unfinished college application on the desk.
I'm greenlighting this. $10 million.
Fun trivia.
And someone has a gun.
At the behest of Frotcast Quotes Twitter, I listened to the Frotcast where we first talked about Kirk Douglas's corpse going down the log flume with a boner.
Uh-huh.
We also talked about Tron Legacy on that one.
Oh, nice.
We had all just seen it, yeah.
See, I think one of these times we need to go back to old school Frotcast where we all just get really drunk and shout at each other.
Yeah, that was fun.
Because that seems to be the one that everybody enjoys, and it was just us, probably four beers deep talking to Lindy, who was like at least 10 drinks.
She's probably like 3 to 4 gin and tonics deep.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what a good buzz for Lindy is, but for me that would have been like a 10 drink drunk.
10 drink drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing on the conspiracy theory, I did want to bring up a public policy polling that I found very interesting, and it even relates to things we've talked about.
Was it
before.
About alliteration?
No. But it did involve how many people. So I don't know the exact number.
4 out of 5 folks felt.
4 out of 5 folks felt phonetics. That's all I got.
So this is public policy polling surveyed 1,200 people. Brendan and Vince are dying right now.
12,000 teen Tennesseans.
Wow. Did you guys eat a pop brownie when I wasn't looking? What the fuck just happened? It's a margin of error plus or minus 3%. How many people believe the moon landing was fake? All right. Do we need to a timeout?
Sorry.
What happened?
I don't know. He's got the giggles.
He's got
like a little schoolgirl over there.
4 out of 5 folks felt it was funny.
4 out of 5. Like that.
Laramie. How many people do you think believe that the moon landing was faked?
Oh, it's relatively high. I think it's like 28%.
No, that's too high. 7% think it was faked. 84% think it was real. How many people believe that Obama is the Antichrist?
Well, that's got to be the same number, right?
14%.
Very good, Brett. 13% believe that he is
like, is that like they legitimately think he's the Antichrist, or do they just think that would be a funny answer?
See, that's what I was surmising. But if it's plus or minus 3%, so you got to think 3% would probably fuck with it.
Those 3%, those are the comedians.
The 3%ers.
Yeah.
So if 1 out of 7.5 people think that, half of us people here think that. One half of us, one person.
One half of us.
How you do this?
I vote for Brett.
Yeah, well, come on.
Here's a couple of my favorites.
You take 14 people out of 100, and those people function lower than animals on an intelligence scale. They're like sponges or the worms you cut in half and they grow another worm butt.
I don't know that, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, you cut them in half and they're just like, fuck it. We've got like half a brain. Let's keep rocking with that. Those are 14 out of 100 people.
Here's my favorite one and definitely relates back. Jason Dove could relate to this. Question 13. Do you believe that shape-shifting reptilian people control our world by taking on human form and gaining political power to manipulate our societies or not?
Do not sure.
That's not bullshit. I'm not sure on that one.
Do, 4%. Do not, 88%. Not sure, 7% of people not sure if reptilian people.
Could be true.
How can you be not sure about that? I don't really know. I still got to weigh out the facts.
I've been doing some research.
I got to do some research and weigh the facts.
It's gonna go either way.
You know, I'm not quite sure.
I do like Nick Swartzen's bit on your relationship status in Facebook or MySpace, where he's like, they got gay, straight, bisexual, and not sure. Like, what does not sure mean? Like,
that's like
I turn on my stove
store.
And I got a boner.
It's like, stick it in me or I'll stick it in you or whatever.
It's the people who believe they might be foxes or mythical foxes that are shaped like dragons. It's so like you're like not sure if you're a fox or a dragon.
They're like, I'm either a furry or a dom.
Centaurs.
Here's another one.
Like bronies and furries. That's pretty much it.
Minotaurs, sorry.
Here's another one that I liked. Question 16. Do you believe media or the government adds secret mind-controlling technology to television broadcast signals or not?
Yes.
Do? It's 15%. Do not? 70%. Not sure? 15%. So do and not sure are equal in that one.
Sounds like there's a lot of non-committal people in this poll.
And I'll just finish up with one more. Question 18. Brandon, do you believe that the pharmaceutical industry is in league with the medical industry to, quote, invent new diseases in order to make money or not? Would you say do not, or you're not sure?
I would say do.
Do.
Yes.
Well, you're in the 15%ers.
Okay.
So 15% do.
Sorry, I had to screw this back together.
69% do not. 16% not sure, you know?
I would say mental disorders.
You think we make up metal?
I'd have to parse that question out a little bit more. I think there's influence for sure. I don't know if it's necessarily completely fabricated from the ground up. I would have to disagree with that.
Do we have everyone back?
What is that? That is a disturbing sound.
Is that a dog?
What?
That's Bugsy.
I have a list whenever.
All right, go. List, go.
Really?
Yeah. Have Bugsy read it, though.
Here we go. Brett's sending me little messages, and they're making me laugh. things I probably complain about too often. Okay. You know, we all have, like, our little peccadilloes.
Mm-hmm.
Gas prices.
Okay, so you complain about gas prices too often.
I mean, I don't know what it takes
probably,
to get gas.
It's probably, you probably complain too often.
Or what it
often.
Takes to process, or like how it comes from the ground or mountains or wherever it comes from. And I don't know how it gets to the place, and I don't know how it's refined. But I just want to pay less when I go. Like, I don't want to pay the amount of money they make me pay.
Do you blame that? You blame that on Obama?
I blame it on the Antichrist, yes. If it is Obama, then he has him.
Lizard
I'm
Christ?
I'm not totally sure about that.
Can we combine it? Can he be a lizard Antichrist?
Oh, man, that's so cool. Like, if he's the Antichrist with a lizard tail?
But we could call him L.A., like a code name. That way people wouldn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We'd have a fort, too, I imagine, in this scenario. Number two, the Elmo guy who raped a bunch of kids.
We haven't talked about him in a while.
He disappoints me. I complain about that.
You know, he didn't rape any kids. He like, had sexual relations.
He diddled them.
No, the kid was, like, 16.
Oh, so they were asking for it?
No, that's not a kid.
With their little 16-year-old bodies, they're like, take me now?
I think you can decide whether you want to get some wiener in you when you're 16.
Wow.
Yeah. I am ejecting from this conversation.
What, you don't think... When you were 16, you don't think you could have decided whether you wanted to have a consensual sexual relationship with a grown man?
Like in the hill, people could, but
I don't think that a grown person should be even attempting.
That's a different question. I'm asking if you, as a 16-year-old, thought that you could have had the power to render consent.
I would have stuck my dick in a bag of hot rocks when I was 16.
Was this a female True. Or a male?
No, it was male.
I would. I mean, I feel like I would have decided that I wouldn't want to touch another man's penis, but I think adults, like, I think it's the adult problem, not the
16-year-old
problem.
Agreed, but I don't, I don't think that, you know, he should have necessarily, I think that was a lapse in judgment that he did that, but to act like it's the same as him, like, raping some kid, I don't think It's not. It's just a guy having shitty self-control.
Well, then I'll give you one other complaint. Child rape in general.
Okay, fair.
Like,
well, that seems like a legitimate complaint.
That one bothers me. I'm not going to lie.
Does it?
And I, you know, I complain about it a lot, but I think it deserves it.
You know, you need to be out there. You need to be the tip of the spear on this one.
I'm coming out against it.
I'll be the shaft.
Judge me.
I'll be right behind you, you know?
I'll be the friend.
Number quattro. Crazy white bitches.
Okay. Okay.
You know?
You know, that is a popular topic. I go to a lot of open mics. You know, crazy white bitches, they come up from time to time, believe it or not.
You know what I'm talking about, though.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Oh, hey.
These bitches be crazy.
You know, I don't... I might have a few crazy white bitch jokes myself.
Exchange rates.
Yeah.
Which one gets you the most? Which one do you complain about the most?
The euro really pisses me off.
Euro to what?
Dollar.
You at a dollar. Okay.
Also, where do you even find that button on your computer? Like, I don't even know.
No, and like all my travels and whatnot, they're like, I give them the $10 and they give me $7 back. And I go, what WTF, man?
Where's the rest of my money? Is that what you say?
Yeah.
Laramie, where do I if I can find the key that makes a euro on my keyboard, does that make the exchange rate better?
If you could find that key, you could actually print euros.
Holy shit.
Which would be pretty big.
Okay.
Okay, the guy at Chipotle.
Right. Tony?
Now this guy.
Doug.
This guy goes up to the counter. I'm three back. I'm three deep. He's the tip of the spear on the Chipotle run, right?
Right, right.
He gets up there. He's ordering two burritos, okay? No problem. That's doable. This guy says, hey, how much does extra meat cost? They're like, I don't know, $2 or whatever. And he thinks about that. He thinks. Okay, he's in to double meat.
Yeah.
Moves on down the line. Can he have both rices? Moves on down the line. He wants both hot sauces. So my man gets his double meat. No problem. I've been at a place in my life where I need a double meat as well. And then he wants the double sauce. Okay. No problem. No biggie. Double rice. Sure. Do your thing, man. You need some burritos. You're hungry. But the kicker, the capper, the capstone. We get to the guacamole selection. How much for guacamole? $1.90. He ponders this. 3 seconds, 5 seconds. Now, I understand it's a bad economy. You don't want to spend $2 willy-nilly.
Also, their guac is not very good.
But can't you just decide just instantly?
Well, he's already got a $43 burrito.
Or just, no, going up, I'm going to get this burrito with guac. Like, I'm going in, and that's it, right? Yeah, his burrito was like $14.
Well,
so he went with the guac?
He did. He chose yes on the guac.
And then he complained about it afterwards?
After much deliberation.
And he kept looking back in the line like he knew he was doing something wrong. You know what I mean? Like one of those, like, oh, I'm really screwing everybody else, but I'm so happy about my burrito.
That burrito probably hardly wrapped. I mean, that's a lot of filling.
Yeah, you got to get a really good burrito artist to get that close.
Eat that guy. Okay. I complained that Aaliyah was taken too soon from us.
How often would you say you complain about that?
3 to 5 times a week.
Yeah, at least, right?
She had at least two more Queen of the Dams in her.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Who do you complain to about that specifically?
Really anyone who listened.
Hey, what's the name of that
Chipotle
song?
Doug.
What's the name of the song? It's like, dun, 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 dun.
That's the name. Is
that the name of the song? Yeah. And then there's like a weird baby sound in the background.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Like, if I let those, like, dun, you dun, go...
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Ah, like a baby cooing in the background.
I have no idea.
Why is there like a weird baby sound in the background of that song?
Dun dun.
But now I'm not it.
But now I'm about it. Something like that. That was the era of everything being about it.
Well,
baby girl.
Only one man truly made up the term about it.
Right.
The baby noise.
You know who that is, Brendan?
That's Master P. It's Master P.
He had a song, Bout It. That is really good.
Bout It is a good song. So, yeah, that's my question is, what's the baby sound doing in there?
It's very strange. You're right. Looking back, that was a weird time for everyone.
Just shake him a hand.
Okay, final one. Guy who runs on the field. I went to Mariners opening night last night, as I'm wont to do. Seventh inning. We get a streaker, right? Not naked, but topless. He's running. I respect that.
That's bullshit streak. That's a fake streak.
As far as it goes, him drunk running, that's fine. But then he makes it about 50, 60 yards. Pretty good. As the security guards diverge on him, you know, in like the Wolfpack style.
Converge on him, yeah.
He tries to juke which I do not respect because he just gets pummeled, right? And his juke doesn't work, and there's eight guys on him, and then the police come out and arrest him or whatever. But, like, once you're running, why do you juke? Why wouldn't you slide or something?
Here's what you do. Here's what you do.
What was his plan after the juke, if it really worked?
No. You pick one guy and you stiff arm like your life depends on it. That's the only way to get through that.
You pick the fattest guy.
You pick, right? I mean, that's a rugby player's mentality.
Well, you can involve a juke. You juke towards and then create separation with.
No, he faked left. I saw it. He was 20 yards away from me.
You false step towards them and then you away. And then you
the more you dance, the more it gives the other guys time to get to you. So you go hard towards that guy.
Right.
And then,
so it's not even really a juke. It's a false step towards them. You stiff arm and then create separation.
Right.
I mean, Laura actually turned to me and goes, "Why did he juke?" We couldn't think. It really disturbed us.
All right. I want to introduce you. Or do you have any more on this list, Laramie?
I was going to complain about blood banks for a second, but I think I've done that before and no one cares.
Right, right. I'm going to introduce you guys to something. Me and Laramie know about this already. There's a guy named Jeff Wells. And he writes a movie blog that somehow people read, which I can't figure out. But it, like, half of his posts are like a manic episode. Or he'll just have some weird complaint about the world and he'll just write it and post it for all the world to see. This just went up like 30 seconds ago. So
the other half are picture of his shoes.
Hot off the presses, huh?
Yeah, I'm not cherry picking this at all. The post is just called Excessive Courtesy. And remember, this is like a blog ostensibly about movies.
That makes money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate the way LA drivers stop dead when they see someone on foot. They've been overtrained by the DMV and it vaguely pisses me off. If I'm standing on a street corner just looking at the traffic and not even stepping off the curb, some LA driver will come along and stop and wait for me to cross. Putz. If I'm standing in a parking structure, not walking down a ramp but just standing 5 or 10 feet from my parked car, an LA driver heading out of the structure will hit the brake and wait for me to do something. Drivers in New York or Paris or London or Rome or Portland are much less considerate, and that's the way I like it.
Has he ever lived in New York? I had to change a tire on a residential street and almost got killed 4 times.
By the tire?
This is a blogger who once said, if you take a long shower, you're a soft sister. Anything over 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Makes you soft. He also complains about his Latino neighbors being too loud.
He's like the reverse Vince.
He calls them boisterous Latinos.
He's really strange.
It's recently gotten to the point that when an LA driver stops and waits for me to cross the street or walk down a parking structure ramp, I'll just freeze and stare back at them. When I do this, it's like I'm saying, yes, you're a very courteous driver, but I'd rather live in a world of shit in which I take my chances, a world like Manhattan or Boston or Chicago. So no offense, but I'm going to politely decline your courteous gesture by staring at you until you give up and keep moving.
Like a crazy person.
I'm not trying to be hostile, but I don't like being stopped for.
No, so, he's trying to be hostile. I think that is almost exactly the way you would try and be hostile. Yeah. If you had a textbook and it said, how would you be hostile?
You stop and stare at someone?
People trying to be nice to you.
I've met this guy.
Place is probably number one.
I've actually met this guy, and him staring at you from a street corner would be freaky as shit. He already looks crazy.
He just seems like vaguely disheveled.
He seems like a bipolar hobo.
That's the way I like my hobos.
Bipolar specifically.
Brett, are you eating candy?
That was me. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Hershey's. It was really good. Since 1894. Is that it?
That's it. That's all I got. I just want to
Zero Dark 30 and the Hunger Games back to back.
Really?
I want to see Zero Dark 30. I do not.
Neither of those
that.
Are very good.
I did not.
So you see Katniss as Osama now, right?
Whoa. Zero Dark 30 was awesome.
No, it's not.
Thank you.
No, it's not.
Yes.
That character is completely contrived.
Hey, all right, here we go. All right, I'm actually prepared for your stupid words. The movie's never – at no point is it about character. That's the whole thing. It's a process-oriented movie. It's like CIA operates like
Fair
this.
Enough. I don't care. I already know the process.
Shut up.
I don't care. I know the process.
What?
Why do I want to watch a movie that I already know the story for?
Because it's interesting. It's like talking shop.
I
don't want to hear about your fucking day. I'm interested in what you do for a living.
That's weird. Okay.
No, I'm seriously. Like, I enjoy talking shop with people. It is a movie tailored to my interests, and I understand if you don't like it, but you can't complain about it being not character-driven enough because it's not a fucking character-driven movie.
I'm complaining about it telling a story that I already know.
For how this thing happened, and that is super interesting to me.
Dick.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that was appropriate.
I was talking to Vince, obviously.
It's a fake story about how it really happened.
It doesn't matter. That's not the point.
No, that's the problem. It's pretending to tell you. It's pretending to give you a character when that character is not
real.
A character.
I would pay for The Hobbit to have been done as like a Middle Earth cooking recipe, where it's like, here's how you make Hobbit pie, or for second breakfast, or whatever the fuck. Like, I'm interested in a world that's fleshed out enough to where they can describe how things occur in sequence, and then keep that interesting.
That's fair. I don't think they did that though. I didn't find it that interesting. It was like,
really?
It was fake character. It was like trying to be character driven, but then there wasn't a character there.
I didn't catch a single hint of character drivenness. I think I liked it for the same reason that I like Black Hawk Down.
I like the last scene. The last scene is amazing.
But I mean, it was very like checkpoint driven, where it's like this. It was location and your knowledge driven. Like, how much do you know at this point in time? How much do you know at this point in time?
But then, how do you
people that are around are just sort of incidental.
But how? All right. Well, we can discuss this another time. But I don't know. I just like that scene where she's yelling at her boss because he doesn't want to listen to her. That just seemed like it was very much trying to make it a story about how she knew the truth and she persevered and blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah, I think the points where they did get character-y were the weakest points. I thought her relationship with her tortury boss was interesting.
Yeah.
Where that was sort of the only thing that they had shown was it's like, yeah, we tortured some guys and you got pretty good at it, but we have to stop now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it needed more time in the oven, but I think it could have been good in like a year once they fleshed out some of the ideas a little more.
Hello.
Hey, Laramie.
Do you guys want to hear an email from one of our listeners, Brian, that has a word of warning about moist wipes?
Oh, I did actually take this advice, so, and it has helped me. So,
wow. So maybe he may have solved your
fissure
problem?
I haven't had a fissure like in a week, which is
dear,
a long time for
dear
me not to have
silly
a fissure.
Bastards. Just was listening to the most recent Frotcast, and as a fellow fracked butt sufferer, I have a word of warning. I, too, used to use the flushable moist wipe, and I noticed that my fracked ass was getting progressively worse. I discovered that those wipes can dry your butt crack out and make it crack and bleed, making the moist wipe more necessary. It's like an addiction, but instead of losing your job, your butt just itches all the time. It will be hard, but ditch the moist wipe and let your butt heal. Give it a few weeks, and I promise it will be better. The more you know. Thanks for making corporate life survivable. That's from Brian.
My butt bleeds as much as the next guy. I've never used the moist wipes.
Well, don't is the advice that he's giving you.
I switched to the really like lotiony, really quilted,
with
like,
the aloe?
High-grade toilet paper, and it's been working out.
Ditched the moist wipes.
I mean, I didn't ditch them. They're there.
You can't.
They're like an old friend.
You can't go cold turkey on the moist wipes.
They're going to be there.
Well, you bring out the big guns when you need them.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
But, you know, I think there's certain things in this world that you just don't skimp on. Adam Carolla is really big on saying, don't be cheap when it comes to buying a mattress. You spend so much time on your mattress, there's no reason to skimp. I'm totally with him. Also, toilet paper.
I'm 100%. People who buy cheap toilet paper, like that's not the place.
How much
to check
money
corners.
Have you saved?
But I do all papyrus, the non-tree shit. Like toilet paper is a horrible way to end a forest.
Oh, it's got to go anyway.
Please. Yeah. It's not ending any forest. Give me a break.
Might as well be at the hands of my butt.
It is totally. They use that shit. That's like straight tree. Like it comes directly from the source. There's no recycling.
From a tree farm.
What?
From a tree farm that's like meant for them.
No,
trees.
They don't do that. It's
they're not
it's
clear cutting like new growth forest for fucking toilet paper.
Yes, they are.
Vince, I only wipe my butt with baby trees. You don't do that?
No.
It's so much softer.
They do new growth forest for toilet paper. That's like a standard practice.
Only trees that koalas are in. That's the only one my butt will take.
I actually use the koalas, which is
Brett, show me your evidence of this.
You've never had a more fulfilled butthole than when an animal doesn't want to be rubbed
on.
So
what kind of toilet paper do you use, Brett?
They've got the new stuff that's all it's like half bamboo and half switchgrass.
I'm out of this.
Koalas eat bamboo.
No, that's a panda. It's different, but they're more expensive and bigger, so it's hard to wipe your butt on them.
No, what I'm saying is you're eating the food source up your butt that animal eats.
No, bamboo grows back in like 3 weeks.
Pandas eat bamboo. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Point taken.
Yeah. I mean it's passable, but fiber is the more important part. Like, if I'm only wiping once, like, what do I care? What, just?
Are you only wiping once?
Yeah, that's what the fiber does.
Dude,
wow.
All right, I can't listen to this anymore. Brett is killing me. Brett is killing me. He doesn't know about real world butt problems, and it hurts me.
I have had a scalpel taken in my butt, so I'm going to go with Vince on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you guys are the broken set, all right?
That's true.
You've got, like, triggers around.
I told you I have a weak butthole, and I would like to...
Yeah, I have a fistula, and you don't want that.
I would like to kill, like, a 15-year-old Tahitian boy. And just have his cornhole implanted in mine.
I thought you were going to use his soft Tahitian skin as butt paper.
Have you signed up for a butthole donor?
Yeah, like his family would call me Mr. Vince, and they would ply me with presents because I'm like the only thing left of their son. Like his butthole.
Mr. Vince.
All right,
son is dead, but his butthole lives on.
Barbecue a pig like in the ground, and then they'd feed it to me, and then. You know, and they put lays on me.
I don't even know the Tahitian accent.
No, Tahitian, I said.
Oh, Tahitian. Yeah, I definitely know it's not a Tahitian accent.
That's a charity I could get behind.
King Eiffel Office.
I mean, I don't even have a whole butthole anymore. I have like 3/4 of a butthole.
You got a cleft butthole.
Is it
at least wedge-shaped, or do you just have like a square missing?
I mean, some of my butt went down to the war, is what I'm saying.
You got like a pie. You got like a pie.
So
side.
I feel like I'm able to take liberties now. Like all bets are off in terms of butthole care.
He does liberties. This little piggy went to market with like a piece of his butthole.
I got to go. Did I ever tell you the doctor on my surgery consult at the end was like, well, you know, at some point you're going to have a problem like holding it in or whatever. But he kind of made it sound like neither of us would care at that point. So whatever. Yeah, that's kind of the vibe he gave me. He's like, you know, I'll be like 80 or whatever. Like, who cares?
I'll be 80 covered in poop. So
yeah, he was like, let's just, you know what? Let's not worry about that today.
We'll all be covered in poop.
Yeah, it's fine.
Just hey, everything went well, but
your butt's not going to hurt anymore, right? For a couple days, so.
I would love a worldly informed doctor where it's like, look, I mean, it's bad. I'm not going to lie to you, but if you've seen what North Korea's doing, I mean, shit is going to get real here pretty quick. So, I mean, you probably got like 3 weeks to just live it up. I say go for the carbs.
I mean, he really could not have put out less of a, or more of a give a less of a fuck vibe than he did at that moment. Ugh.
Just an FYI.
I just wrote myself a prescription for not giving a fuck about your butt.
Just an FYI. Hey, Laramie, everything went great. Everything went according to plan.
Cool,
but,
cool.
Hey, just an FYI.
Yep.
There's going to come a day. We don't know when. Is going to be a day where poop is just falling right out of your butt.
And you can't do anything about it.
There's nothing you can do, and we can't fix it. But anyway, Godspeed. Have a wonderful day.
And you're wearing a diaper.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'd high five you, but you're a poop time bomb and I can't set you off.
All right. Well, Vince has a really important film drunk meeting that he has to leave for. I need to edit that out too.
Whatever.
What can I say? Vince needs to paratrooper into Vietnam right now.
Why do you torture me?
He needs to go talk to a bunch of 16-year-olds, see if they're ready to get a wiener in
him. He's a busy man. He needs to gauge consent.
Yeah, see, this guy's smart enough. He's ready.
He's
next.
So mad.
You mad. Oh.
He's getting so grumpy. I'm not mad.
I had to go a while ago.
All right. Well,
he just cut everyone off.
All right. Well, Fraud fans, thanks for listening once again. And until next week, good night and good chins.